unscripted, loose cannon of Knoxville Sports Radio, Jake Miller. The G.I. Jake Show starts now on Fan Run Radio.
Music is a great representation of me trying to get ready for this show right now. Didn't have my headphones plugged in, didn't have my computer plugged up, just a damn mess.
You've been sitting there a minute, too.
And welcome into the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio, live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Jake Miller alongside Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, intern Jack. The Sweet 16 starts tonight. Clemson. We'll take on Arizona at 7:09 on CBS. San Diego State will take on UConn at 7:39 on TBS. Alabama will take on North Carolina, 9:39 CBS. And Illinois will take on Iowa State at 10:09 on TBS or True TV. Weird start times. I hate the 09s. I hate the 39s. I was thinking someone might have just made a typo, but I guarantee you that's probably correct.
And they're going to get pushback anyway, too. So
I mean, even your 7:09 games, I mean, every time that we have a 4 o'clock start, that game's not tipping off until at least what? Like, if we were to say the
I think that's why they say 7:09. They're going to start it right at 7:09, right?
They better, because every time that we've had a 4 o'clock start, I feel like the game hasn't started until, like, you know, if you got a 7 o'clock start, 7:10 is usually when you're tipping off, sometimes 7:15. Because we've got to get all the pregame festivities in. Well, here's a suggestion. Why not start those earlier? That way you have your scheduled tip-off time.
Guess you got to talk to the TV people.
Who cares about them?
They're the ones that make the times.
I don't care.
I don't know.
They think it's all about them. Some guy at CBS Sports right now is thinking it's all about him. Can anyone tell me who's in charge at CBS Sports? Guess what, buddy? It ain't all about you. It ain't all about you. So in tonight's games, Arizona, 7.5-point favorite over Clemson. UConn is an 11.5-point favorite over San Diego State. North Carolina is a 4.5-point favorite over Alabama. And Iowa State is a 1.5-point favorite over Illinois. These spreads, the bottom two make sense. The top one kind of makes sense. The one that you'd kind of be weary of going about, period, whether that be for UConn to cover, San Diego State cover, is that game. 11.5 is a big number when it gets to this point in the NCAA tournament. You can see 4.5s, see 3.5s. I mean, we had a, what, 6.5 against Texas and didn't cover?
Yep.
See, those are ones that you could see, like, okay, well, this is a good game in which you can base this off of. This is a way that you can look at it and say, okay, well, we got something going on here that we need to pay attention to. We need to pay attention to this. We need to pay attention to that. Whatever it may be, certain things you pay attention to. And if you're going to bet tonight, and we're all going to place picks on every single one of these games, and maybe give you a bonus bet, maybe even a halftime spread or a first to 10, you know, whatever it may be, coming up at the end of the show. Because right now, this is this one's going to be hard to bet. This one's going to be really hard to bet. Ticket prices for these games. Clemson, Arizona, Alabama, North Carolina. Those tickets, $51 a piece. Did someone just sneeze or was that a cat?
That was a very dry cough. Sorry.
Okay.
Or a cat.
San Diego State, UConn, Illinois, Iowa State. That game up in Boston. Tickets as low as $190 for that. You look ahead to tomorrow, I guarantee you Tennessee has the most expensive ticket, and they do not. The NC State Marquette Duke Houston series, $192 down in Dallas. Let's get into the Gonzaga-Purdue Creighton-Tennessee series. 163. That has dropped tremendously since last week. Because last week, there was no way that any of us could afford to go. I think the tickets might have been $296.
Is that for just the one game?
Those are for both games. It's for both sessions.
So when I see those numbers on there, that's for both sessions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's not horrible.
It's not terrible. You can live with that. You can live with that. You can get one-way flights up to Detroit. No problem. And which I expect some Tennessee fans to make that flight. Matter of fact, I can see a lot of orange there tomorrow. I can see it already.
Won't fans, like if your team loses, though, it'll clear out pretty good.
Yeah, it'll lose out.
Because you might stick around to see who you're playing next.
Yeah, I mean, Gonzaga and Purdue expect a little bit of a holdover there for the team that wins. I expect Purdue to win that game. And I wish it wasn't the case, but that's probably what's going to happen. But looking at tonight's games, Clemson and Arizona. Arizona, historically, of course, they had the championship in the 90s that we all know about. But people want to talk about Tennessee flaming out in the NCAA tournament. Arizona does it just as much. They do it just as much as what Tennessee does. And they're going up against a Clemson team in which nobody really had a lot of confidence in going into the tournament. Everyone felt like Clemson, you know, if they won their first game, that they would get put out by Baylor. Well, now Clemson's in the Sweet 16 against Arizona. And Arizona, you would expect this spread. I would expect it to be about 9.5, 10.5 point spread. I would expect that to almost be what the UConn-San Diego State spread is. Now, they're expecting a lot of scoring in this game. It's not the highest over-under. The highest over-under is Alabama at 173.5. Clemson and Arizona, that over-under is at 152.5. I don't really know what to make of the spread. Quite frankly, I don't know what to make of the over-under.
In the Clemson game?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't know how to get their numbers. You know, obviously Clemson's coming off a big win against Baylor, who I don't know what the line was in that one, but
no, Baylor was the favorite.
I know Clemson's got some big wins this year. They've beaten Bama. They beat North Carolina. They played Duke to a 1-point game. They got a guy that's first round draft pick, PJ Hall. I mean, they got some talent on there. They got one of the top transfers in Gerard. I think he came over from Syracuse. So, I mean, it'll be an interesting game. Arizona could be hit or miss. I mean, Arizona feels like the West Coast us this year. They got that stud, Caleb Love, first-team yep. All-American. Then they got some guys that kind of are come and go, you know.
They
and,
do.
You know, so it'll be – should be a fun matchup. I think all the games should be fun tonight to watch.
In their last 10, Arizona is averaging 79.8 points per game, going in 7-3. And Clemson – 6-4 in their last 10, averaging 73.3. There's where your spread comes in.
Yeah, they lost.
There's where your over-under comes in.
Yeah, they lost their last two regular season games, I guess.
I think Arizona is going to win this game. Can Clemson get enough on the board to cover the spread? I don't think they're going to win. Matter of fact, I see Arizona getting put out in the next round.
By either Alabama or North Carolina?
Yes, okay. Yes. They're not going to make the Final Four.
Okay.
They're not going to make the Final Four. That is a guarantee. Mark that down, Jack. Mark that down. And then you also have tonight UConn, San Diego State. UConn should more than cover the spread.
Baylor is 4.5 point favorites against Clemson in that game.
Very interesting. So, UConn's probably going to more than cover the spread. Can we all agree on that? Like I'd have no confidence in San Diego State right now. I know that they made the run to the Final Four last year. I know this is basically a rematch of the championship game from last year. It ain't going to happen.
I just don't know if they have enough offense. I mean, they might slow down UConn, but is that going to be enough?
That's not going to be enough. UConn has too much juice for that team. Mm-hmm. It's not even going to be close. Illinois-Iowa State might be the most intriguing of the day. That
Absolutely.
One very well might be the most intriguing of the day. And I, quite frankly, I don't know what to make of this Alabama-North Carolina game. I just don't.
I just see North Carolina running them out of the gym, personally.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. And, I mean, you got to think, but that's a high over-under for a college basketball game.
Can Alabama put two defensive games together? I know they played good defense against Grand Canyon or whoever they've beat. in the second round, right?
Yeah, like they're
shot a poor percentage. I mean,
well, I mean, they're basically expecting this.
Baycott's a problem. RJ Davis will be a problem.
They're going to be problems.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're expecting this game, like literally, they're thinking it's probably going to be along the lines of 90 to 85. The over-under set at 173.5. I might hammer that under, to be honest with you. Because the last time that I thought an over was going to hit, a for sure over was going to hit, was Tennessee Ole Miss in 2021. And I think they had the over-under set at like, I mean, it was something ridiculous. I don't even remember what it was. It might have been in the 70s. It might have been in the 80s.
I mean, Alabama's 101st in defense.
Yes.
I mean, fourth in offense, and Carolina's 17th in offense and sixth in defense.
It's going to be interesting to see what we pick here tomorrow. We're going to be talking with West Coast Rusty here in about 6 minutes.
Is he going to any of these games?
He might, actually. He might. It's right down the road from his house. He very well might. West Coast Rusty. Going to watch Clemson, Arizona, Alabama, North Carolina. Of course, Roberto, he doesn't consider Arizona a West Coast team. He considers them a Southwest team.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah.
I think Arizona's kind of like its own thing, kind of like a hot dog. Like, they're just their own thing. Like, there's no definitive reasoning behind what they are, whether it's a sandwich or a taco. It's its own thing. Arizona, is it Southwest? Is it West Coast? Nobody knows. It's kind of just its own thing. All we know Arizona and Arizona State for are the two biggest party schools in the country. That's all we know them for. Mm-hmm. Illinois, Iowa State. That's a very late tip. I do not like that for them. I don't like ours. I don't like theirs. Quite frankly, that one might be a snooze fest. That might be a rock fight.
Really?
I think
it's going to be a defensive struggle?
I don't know.
Illinois has been rolling, man.
Like, you think of games like the Tennessee-Auburn game in which nobody could get anything going. Nobody could get to 50. Grant, one of these teams will get to 50. But it just seems like one of those days for both teams. I don't know why, but I've got this gut feeling. It's like that's going to be the least entertaining game of the night. And it's your nightcap. Like, don't turn over to TBS at 10:09. Keep your eyes on the Alabama-North Carolina game from 9:39 on until that game is over. Do not switch the Illinois-Iowa State game until that game is over. Out of that side of the bracket, you've got eight teams on that side. Which two do you all see making the Final Four out of the side of the bracket?
The UConn side?
The UConn side.
Playing for the Elite Eight?
No, playing in the Final Four.
Oh, I mean, I picked UConn just from the get-go, so I got them, and I think Carolina.
Pretty chalky, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I don't have Arizona going on. I have them getting beat by either North Carolina or Alabama. I mean, you may very well have – you're going to have at least two number one seeds in the Final Four, I think.
See, Alabama's only got one guy you can trust to get you a basket, to do anything really consistently.
Yeah, Sears. Yeah,
he's
that's
a good
it.
Player. Carolina's got Baycott. They got RJ Davis. You know, their point guard's pretty good. He's pass first guy. I forgot that wing they got. He killed us. The transfer from Stanford. I can't remember his name. But yeah, I mean, I just don't think they have the bigs to deal with Baycott down there. And RJ Davis is just, he's good. First team All American as well.
It's going to be fun to watch. When we return, West Coast Rusty joins us for his weekly appearance on the G.I. Jake Show. Stay with us. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
Hey, she said that she saw me walking in about a mile away. Bean just had to take her phone and that just took her smile away. She said I'm too drunk and crazy. She don't like the way I dance. I said you don't have to join this. She said she'd take a chance. I've been kind of crazy ever since they went down. Leave them Broadway girls alone.
back here on the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, online at fanrunradio.com, your free Fan Run Radio app. Pleased to be joined by West Coast Rusty of Big Orange Banter, making his weekly appearance here on the G.I. Jake Show. Rusty, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Feeling pretty sweet.
It is sweet indeed as the Sweet 16 kicks off today. Of course, Tennessee and Creighton will do battle tomorrow. Rusty, want to talk a little bit about today's games and what you foresee happening with those. Because right now I'm looking at a couple like Clemson, Arizona. That's not really moving the needle for me. It's one of those deals. Arizona should cover the spread of 7.5 in this game. But we know what Arizona does in March. Very similar to what Tennessee has done since the turn of the century. It's like they can get there, but they're not going to do anything for you. And then you look on the flip side, and you have San Diego State and UConn, which UConn is an 11.5-point favorite and probably should be. And then the one where everyone's expecting a lot of scoring, Alabama, North Carolina. The over-under set at 173.5 in that game. And then, of course, your nightcap is going to be Illinois and Iowa State, in which I don't think is really moving the needle for anybody, even though it might, it probably should, because it's a 2-3 matchup. I mean, that's, you know, about as chalky as you can get. But I just look at that game, and I can't get up for that one. Like, I'm going to get more excited for Alabama, North Carolina, and probably Clemson, Arizona, than I am those other two matchups. What's your mindset going into tonight with the games that we have going on, in which two are right down the road from your house?
Yeah, I like the underdogs in three of those four. I like UConn comfortably. I like the underdogs to cover for sure, and a few of them, I think I would give the underdog a really good chance of winning outright. And definitely that game's going way over 173. I'll say that for sure. That game's going to be both teams well into the 90s.
You think anyone reaches 100?
Yeah, I do. I think well into the 90s minimum for both teams. I think we'll see us possibly see both teams into the hundreds. They're gonna score, and they're gonna score a lot. Carolina's better on defensively than they have been the last couple years. They're still not great, and I think Alabama will exploit them some. And Carolina's gonna score probably every possession. They're gonna average like 1.9 points per possession in this ball game, or something insane like that. Wish I could go, but I'm seeing a client halfway to Vegas. at 4 o'clock this afternoon. So I might be able to get back down to crypto to the arena by the time Carolina and Bam are tipping off. I won't be able to make it for Arizona Clemson for sure.
Just don't eat In-N-Out Burger. That's all we ask. Do not go to
I do not participate. There's no pals out here, unfortunately, but if there was, I would school everybody out here that In-N-Out Burger is garbage, and it does not compare to Pals.
That does my heart joy, because the one time I had In-N-Out Burger when I was out in Southern California, that it was the most overrated thing I've ever had the displeasure of having in my life.
Brother, there are lines like you cannot imagine in it at every drive-through for In-N-Out out here. People think it is. They think it's like Ruth Chris for fast food, apparently. I don't get it. I've had it two times, and it's garbage.
It's a Big Mac with a tomato on it is all it is.
It's I don't even know that it's that. But anyway, hey, nobody wants to hear my food takes, I don't think.
Well, that's what we talk about on the show. We derail the show with food. We're going to have to send every one of us to a retreat because we're talking about food all the damn time. My goodness. But, Rusty, looking at some of the other games on this slate, you know, we were talking a little bit about Clemson, Arizona a few minutes ago, in which Clemson's one of these teams, man, they have just they've shocked a lot of people. I think if you had them getting past the first round, because that was a major upset pick for a lot of people. Like, everyone thought they might get beat in the first round.
Yeah.
And then they beat New Mexico is who they beat. And then they beat Baylor. Like, I don't think anybody in this room had them beating Baylor. Period.
I don't think any of us did. They have figured it out at the right time. And I guess we did see glimpses of it this year. The win at Carolina was tough and hard fought. And they, like I said, there's been glimpses, but I think we thought it was more when we would see them show up and win a big game. We kind of believed it was maybe the better team just having a letdown and not showing up and giving their best effort that day. But maybe Clemson just didn't play up to their potential every game, and sometimes they got more locked in. And they've been locked in this tournament. There was no fluke in that Baylor win. They were the better basketball team. Easily the better basketball team. They dominated that ball game. Baylor had to play hectic, crazy, catch-up basketball just to make it competitive somewhat competitive at the end. It was Clemson dominated when the game was in the balance. And I think they're going to give Arizona fits because I don't trust Arizona to show up night in and night out. And that early tip time, I know it's not early for you guys, but 4 o'clock tip, 4:09 tip out here, the Arizona fans better, all of them that want to go there and make it a home game for Arizona, they all better, you know, be downtown at like 2 today outside the arena waiting to go, or else it's going to be a pretty dead arena and it's not nearly going to benefit Arizona that much.
And looking ahead to tomorrow, the Tennessee game. The last
What's going on tomorrow?
Well, some team wearing orange, some team wearing blue. One's got a bird, one's got a dog. And yep. In the last 10 games, team with a dog, 8-2, averaging 76.7 points per game, 40.1 rebounds, 16.1 assists, because that's something that we just do very well. We dish the ball around very well, and you're going to start to notice that a lot, Rusty. I think you'll agree with a lot of these teams. The teams to this point, and Josh, you asked me the other day, you know, what bad teams are left, and, I mean, if you make it to the Sweet 16, you're not a bad team. And every team, you're going to see a constant trend. Everybody's going to dish the ball around a lot more than what you're used to seeing. You'll see some teams that might average like 7 or 8 assists a game, 10 assists per game, and then you start to see teams that average 16.1, you know, in Creighton's case, 17.2. These guys are going to dish the ball around a lot more, which creates open shots. Now, Tennessee, I feel like, has a better hand on the defensive side. You know, we're going to average more steals than anybody. When you have people like Santiago Vescovi, that's where his strong suit is this year, is on defense. Zakai Ziegler. Santiago Vescovi is going to chase down every long rebound that you got. Tennessee has held their opponents to 65.3 points per game. Creighton, 8-2 in their last 10, averaging 80.3 points per game, so almost 4 points more than Tennessee, but they're allowing 4 more points than what Tennessee has over their past 10, their opponents averaging 69.2. Rusty, looking at that just a little bit of a glimpse that I gave you, what can you take away from that? And is it basically going to be the Jonas Adu versus Ryan Kalkbrenner show?
That last thing, I don't know that it ends up being those two guys. I think it's going to be more, this is a game for Dalton to go bananas, because of the way because of what they do schematically on defense. I think simply for them, they are going to pass around. They're going to whip the ball. They're going to move it. Don't overhelp and run them off the 3-point line. Make them put the ball on the floor late in shot clocks, because they're going to try to work and work and work and get open three. Just stay at home, stay with your guy, eventually run them off 3-point line and make them dribble into a tough shot, whether that's a tough pull-up or a tough finish at the rim, and they'll be uncomfortable because we got dudes that are more athletic than them across the board pretty much. On offense, the way they defend is very, very unique. Everybody runs ball screen offense now, and everybody has a way they defend ball screen. Houston is the antithesis of what Creighton is. Houston's second defender comes at the dribbler really, really, really hard in the ball screen, and they double team him and try to force him to get rid of the ball, and then they sprint back and rotate. Creighton's the opposite. Creighton's big guy. He doesn't even basically leave the paint to come help whenever they set the ball screen. He sits back and just stays at the rim. And what they're doing by that is they're daring the dribbler to try to dribble into the foul line area, and then pull up right there and shoot. They don't help off of the other defenders when you ball screen. They all stay at home, so you can't kick it to an open shooter. They try to force whoever the ball handler is to come off the screen, and the screener rolled to the rim, and you to pull up as the ball handler and shoot a 12, 15 footer. That, and if you do that with Connect, which they're probably going to do, Connect or to have 1,000 chances at shooting that mid-range at the top of the key. If he makes them at a high clip, we'll win this ball game comfortably. If he doesn't knock those down, it'll be a tough night. I would like to see him a couple times. So not only do they drop the coverage, the defender doesn't go under the screen that's guarding the ball. The defender goes over top of the screen and follows you, so he ends up behind whoever the dribbler is. So Connect's going to end up coming off that screen with the man guarding him behind him, and he's going to have it to where he can raise up and shoot, like I said, or he's going to be able to go onto the rim and challenge their big. And I kind of want to see Connect early in the ball game come off that screen with a head of steam and two or three bounces and go up and try to break the kid's fingers off in the rim when he dunks it on him. Do that a few times and see if we can get them uncomfortable. So that's going to be the whole key of the ball game, is us running early ball screen offense with Connect and him making the right play off of it and putting the ball in the basket. He's going to get tons of opportunities. This could be a night for – this could be his highest scoring game of the year based off the way they defend.
Yeah, Rusty, I mean, you kind of pretty much touched on what I was going to ask. I mean, the hard part – I think this is going to be the hardest – we're so good defensively, but I think this could be the hardest team we've had to guard this season because, you know, you had your Alabamas, but they're strictly a three-point shooting team. This team actually is kind of very balanced in what they like to do. I mean, I know we think they're just a three-point shooting team, which they are. I mean, they took 40 in the last game, made 15. But I did see a stat where
they will shoot mid-range.
They will shoot mid-range. Yeah, and that's what I was just reading there, the third-best two-point percentage shooting team in the country, almost hitting 60% of the time. Now, a lot of it is Colt Brenner at the rim.
It's him at the rim.
Yeah, I mean,
lot.
He's shooting basically 70% from the field. So it'll be interesting. I think they're going to do it. I think Connect's going to get his. I really do. I don't think he's going to miss the way he was. I think he's going to knock down his threes. And they're just going to try and defend everybody else, make everybody else try and, you know, go higher than what you've done on the season. You know, Adu can shy away from the rim when he sees a bigger guy. So I'm wondering if he's going to just – I just don't want him to settle so much for that little, you know, 15-foot, you know, jumper. You know, it's very hit or miss. And, you know, I'm just very torn on this game. I think Tennessee wins, but it's just – they're just such a tough matchup. You know, at all five positions, because they're just so balanced, and
they are. And the difference between them and Alabama, the biggest difference between them and Alabama is they. I guess when Nelson's on the court, they're similar because it's the fact that they're big. He can knock down threes for Creighton and Bama. When it's Nelson, they can do the same thing. But that's the real difference is. You can defend Bama by running guys off the three-point line and then keep Jonas at the rim to protect it.
Yeah.
And with them, he can drag Jonas away when we force him to drive. They get a lane without a rim protector. That's a huge difference. They will shoot mid ranges more. But I feel like if you run them off the three-point line and make them take almost exclusively twos, we'll end up winning the ball game. The way we lose this ball game is if we help off of shooters on drives and they kick to open threes and they make a bunch of them. That's where this game gets away from us.
Yeah,
if that's the game plan.
Yeah, and if they do like to, they almost play inside out. You know, their first look seems to be Colt Brenner a lot, and he's a pretty good passer out of the post. And that's what I'm worried about too. Like we could get away with doubling some teams in the post. I don't know if you can do that with any one of the other four across the perimeter. I mean, they're all very good shooters.
Right.
So
you're 100% right, Brett. That's how you lose this ball game is when the ball goes in the paint. Do we collapse off of shooters and let them kick it out? Whether it's driving the ball in the paint or in entry passes into him and he kicks it out, don't do it. Don't go for the bait. That's what they want you to do. Play straight up. Jonas, don't foul. Make him take a tough shot over you in the paint or go straight up on the drive and make them try to finish a tough two. And if we do that all day long, they'll get frustrated at not being able to kick it out, and we'll win this ball game comfortably.
Rusty, I'm going to bring up a couple games I find interesting, and you already mentioned one. So
what time do the Wolfpack play?
I'm glad you asked. They play on Friday, 7:09 Eastern. So glad you asked.
Oh, darn. That's
yeah, make dinner plans.
I might still be working then.
Well, it'll be okay.
I'm just kidding.
I'll send you some updates if you need it. So to start with Thursday games, I was going to mention the Alabama-North Carolina game, but I'm going to swap over to two games for Thursday, two for Friday real quick with you. You mentioned Arizona-Clemson. The question I have about that game is, and I know we've talked about it a little bit, the spread is at 7.5 right now, and what Clemson's been doing, is Arizona potentially the 1-2 seed that gives you the most questions to where they could be the team to be upset by Clemson? And then the next question about the other 2 seed playing today, Iowa State and Illinois, currently a 1.5-point game. Is this probably the biggest toss-up for a 2 and a 3 seed going at it? Is this the one that could really be anyone's game?
I lean Illinois in that ball game pretty heavily. I think Illinois is going to win. I guess that's the biggest toss-up because it's the only one where I favor the 3 seed. Hmm. So I think so. Iowa State's elite defensively, but I think Illinois is going to fill it up, and Iowa State's not going to be able to do enough on offense. They've been such a hit or miss team offensively all year. Their defense always shows up in battles, but they can light you up like they did Houston in that last game of the Big 12 tournament. But they also can go really, really cold, and anybody can get them. And I think Illinois beats them tonight. What was the other one you had?
We kind of rehashing the Arizona Clemson one from the start, because to me that's the one where, out of all the ones and twos, and there's a couple that I think will be upset as well, Arizona is the one that I think is, to me, the most likely to be upset between the ones and twos. They seem the most vulnerable based on exactly what Jake said earlier, what we've seen them do in March.
Yeah, I try to say every year's different, and not look at something that happened, 4 years ago that will pertain to today's ball game. I just think that Clemson right now has figured it out, and I think they're going to pull Arizona's big away from the basket, and it's going to be an open day in the paint. I think the Hall kid will stretch the floor enough to make Ballo. Is it Ballo? Am I saying it right?
I think so.
I think they'll do a good job pulling him away from the basket, and that will take Arizona out of the ball game.
And I don't trust
Caleb Love. I think Caleb Love will shoot Arizona out of the ball game too.
Wow. Okay. Cool. And then quickly, I'll do Friday. It won't take too much time. I'll give you my 2 upsets for Friday, and I'm curious what you think. I think you probably know one of them already.
I'm ahead of you.
NC State over Marquette, and then I've also got Gonzaga over Purdue. I know that's going to be the biggest game that not only is Tennessee fans, but I think a lot of the country will be wanting to watch, because not only is it a top matchup between two very good teams, but this is a team in Gonzaga that I think some people, if you want Purdue to lose, this could be the game you could see it. What do you think about that matchup, Gonzaga and Purdue in particular? And then, of course, how do you feel about the Wolfpack?
I tend to agree with you on Purdue-Gonzaga. If we beat Creighton, I'd much rather play Purdue. I do not want to face Gonzaga. They're better than Purdue. They just used their whole – few took a page out of Tom Izzo, where he used the entire season as a work-on-stuff time, not worry about winning ball games as much the first 20 ball games of the season. Just play good enough and work on stuff and improve and get better and better and get going. They're really daggone good now. And I'm much more threatened by them than I am Purdue in us rematching Purdue with a healthy Ziegler. So I tend to agree with you. I don't want to see Gonzaga on Sunday if we get there. The NC State game, that's a really interesting ball game because the way Creighton plays and the way Creighton's big plays, he's a super athletic freak of a five guy, a five man, and he's going to match up with Burns. How does that work out? Does Marquette run up and down the court and see if they can possibly give Burns a heart attack? Or does NC State, are they able to keep the game slow and half court to where Burns clearly will have the advantage in the half court going up against an athletic but not bulky, low center of gravity guy guarding him? That's going to be a super – it's going to really come down to the pace of the game and who dictates. Because Marquette can flat out get up and down the court, and they're athletic, and Cam Johnson's a beast. Kolick's a stud. And like I said, they're athletic in the post. They're gonna throw some lobs. They're gonna do a lot of stuff athletically. How does Burns handle it? And how many times does he have to raise his hand to go to the bench? And he's begging for some oxygen. That's my big question in that ball game. Should be a fun watch though, because it's going to be really, really contrasting.
Hey, Rusty. So back to the game on Friday. I was trying to think of an X factor for the game. Obviously, everyone's a factor. We need Dalton to show up. We need Zakai to dish the ball around. But for me, the X factor is Adu. We need him to protect that paint, stay out of foul trouble while doing it, though, get those rebounds. I'm not expecting any sort of offensive production from him because of Kalkbrenner. I mean, if he somehow got 10 points, I'd see that as a miracle and no way we lose the game. What's your X factor for the game? Who do you think we need to play really well?
If it's a person, it's Ziegler, because I think Ziegler will have the most open looks outside of Kinnett coming off the ball screens. I think you will see Ziegler get free some for some open looks. Him shooting a good percentage will be huge. If it's not a person that's an X factor, I think fouls are the X factor of this ball game. If we get in early foul trouble, it changes things dramatically in the post. If Awaka and Adu both ended up with two at the 8-minute mark of the first half, things get dicey. But if we get two on Kalkbrenner in the first 10 minutes, then the pendulum swings heavily in our favor. If we can play 10 minutes in the first half without him off on the court, or with him playing with two fouls, which means he's not going to do anything to protect the rim because he's not going to pick up that third, then we can really, really have a field day. So to me, the X factor is who are the officials and how tightly do they call it, and who gets whistled for the early fouls.
Yeah, unfortunately, Creighton is ranked number one in not fouling this season.
It's their defense. It's the way they play. They don't do anything risky. They don't try to get steals. They don't cut passing lanes. They just stay with their guy so you won't kick it to him for an open shot. And he stands at the rim and jumps straight up and tries not to foul and just tries to alter your path so you'll take a tough shot. They make no effort to foul, and they try to slow you down a ton. So they're number one in the nation in not fouling. I think they're number one in the nation in worst in steals, or they're last in the nation in steals, because that's just not in block shots. That's just not who they are. So it's interesting. Can you get the ball to Jonas, and can Jonas do something to make him commit a foul that he usually won't do?
Good stuff. Rusty, thank you so much for your time, man. Tell us where to find you.
West Coast Rusty on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. I still call it Twitter, and I'm not going to stop. Or at Big Orange Banner, and we will be doing a show this week. We're not doing one tonight or tomorrow because of the tournament. We're going to wait and do one Saturday mid-morning, or morning my time, mid-morning you guys' time. So everybody that's out there, jump on Twitter Spaces and listen to us. We'll be breaking down what happened in all the Sweet 16 games on Saturday.
All righty. Rusty, thank you so much for your time, man. We'll talk soon.
All right. GBO, y'all be good.
That is West Coast Rusty making his weekly appearance here on the G.I. Jake Show. Stay with us. Final segment of hour number one coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's geared?
Final segment of hour number one right here on the G.I. Jake Show. It's Fan Run Radio. Guys, go join the 37 Club today at fanrunradio.com/the37club for exclusive access to a lot of things. You're going to get a free shirt if you do the premium membership. The premium membership basically pays for itself because you're getting a shirt which is valued at about $30. So you're basically paying for a shirt a month. You get access to the Discord in which you can have a chat with all of us. You're going to have access to members-only events, such as watch parties, tailgates, and then you also have this Fan Run Charity Open that we have coming up here in less than a month. I've got to get to the course this weekend, maybe on Saturday. I got to get out there, you know, make sure that everything is all good. Because if everything ain't all good, I'll just be the spectator.
Yeah, Jack and I have been practicing our putt-putt game pretty hard. We're ready for when we hit the when we get ready to putt. We're set.
Marcus, you're going to rent a set of clubs, and you will participate.
I need money to do that, so we'll see.
What if a team sponsors you?
Oh.
What if a business sponsors you?
Like Captain Crunch?
And what if a team sponsors you and they rent the clubs for you or they give you a loaner set?
Sure.
Would you go out there and play?
As long as they're willing to understand, I will not help them until we get to the putting game.
A lot of hole-in-ones.
Oh.
You realize how much different that is, right?
Especially if we start from the green there, you know, right where the hole-in-ones every time.
Are you aware of how different a real green is compared to a putt-putt green?
I think one of them is real grass.
That would be the actual green.
Yeah, we had obstacles on ours.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, ours, we had a big clown. It was like in a V shape. It was really weird.
Have you ever used a real putter?
It's a crocodile. A long time ago.
The last time I truly
golfed, if we're not counting putt-putt,
okay,
was when I was at probably 8. It's like 21 years ago. It's going to be a struggle for me. I'm going to have to get some practice in myself.
FanRunRadio.com/the37club today. Get yourself signed up. All right, so something we have to talk about, guys, is how we're going to watch this game tomorrow. Not many places are going to be open that are family-friendly. I'm all about a family-friendly bar.
Wait, hold on. A family-friendly bar?
Yes.
I feel like that's contradictive. A little bit ironic.
A family-friendly bar and grill.
Oh, okay.
Not many families are out at 10:30 at night.
You never know.
Well, I mean, kids and stuff, is that what you're talking about, too?
So what's the game plan for tomorrow? Do you order food before the place closes and hope that it's still warm by the time this game tips off? Do you go get a frozen pizza? What do you do?
You got a nearby Crystals. Aren't you going to go get a sack full before the game?
That's not game day food.
I don't know what your game day food is. Why
pizza, Wayne.
Are you going to throw a brisket on, let it cook till 10 o'clock?
I've cooked brisket twice in the past month.
So you want something different?
Yes.
Pizza would be good. That sounds pretty good for a game time, 10 o'clock snack.
We need to open up our own late night pizza.
What are we going to call it?
For these very moments. I mean, I know what I want to call, but you're not going to like it.
Go ahead.
I think you need to have a name that doesn't make sense that's going to intrigue people even more to come.
Who's pizza?
No, I was going to call it a cereal soup pizza.
No.
Because people are going to see it and they're going to go, what? Like, are they doing soup? Are they doing cereal or pizza? What's going on? I got to find out. And they're going to go up and they're going to see it's only pizza.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Call it Wolfpack pizza.
Elite Eight pizza. Final Four pizza.
GI Pie Works.
Tar Heel Brett Pizza.
GI Pie Sounds works.
GI Lamb, Pie.
Baby Lamb Pizza.
How are we going to serve this, Marcus? We're going to have a standalone, or are we going to do a food, or we're going to do a food truck?
Well, obviously, I think a standalone, like a single shop, would be nice.
How are we going to afford the rent?
How are we going to afford it?
Yeah.
Join the 37 Club, guys.
that is the best thing you have said all day.
I would say that there was a pizza place when I used to live in Montana that did this, and I think it was a great idea, and I think we could implement it here. They not only sold pizza, they also rented movies, so you could go rent movies while your pizza was getting made, and it was a super cool combination. I think we could
have
do
Netflix.
I was going to say we can do something similar. Something similar. We can have maybe like every UT game, basketball, football, whatever. And if you want to be able to go back and rewatch the full game highlight, we'll have it on a DVD for you.
You know what? I'm all in. I'm all in, Marcus. That was the best thing you've said since you've been on this show. Stay with us. Hour number one of the books. Hour number two of the G.I. Jake Show coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.
I was afraid to cut the cord, but once I did, I couldn't believe it.